ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भूमिरापो नलो वायु खं मनो बुद्धिरेव च अहंकार इत्यं मे भिन्ना प्रकृतिरष्टतः। Translation. From this one line of Srila Prabhupada's purport, we can understand that Krishna consciousness is not a religion as religion is generally conceived of. I didn't say international. Once when Srila Prabhupada was asked by a newspaper reporter, what is Krishna consciousness? He replied that Krishna consciousness is not an ordinary religion. Srila Prabhupada, he said that Krishna consciousness is a scientific, cultural and philosophical presentation for the re-spiritualization of the entire world. He said scientific, cultural and philosophical. No, adhyatmik he didn't say. You're putting the word in. He said scientific, philosophical and cultural. And you're saying adhyatmik, which means spiritual, but Prabhupada didn't say that in this instance. No, philosophic means tattva darshan. Not all philosophy is spiritual. There's atheistic philosophy also. You can translate that. So, what does this mean that Krishna consciousness is not an ordinary religion? In the English dictionary, the word religion, which is actually a different word from the Sanskrit word dharma, it's translated as a kind of faith. It's a kind of faith. But Srila Prabhupada would always say that Krishna consciousness is not simply a matter of blind faith. It is a science. What does that mean, that it's a science? Science means something that can be ascertained. But religion, people tend to think of it as something that you just experience, and it's just subjective. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes the nature of the knowledge that he is describing. Raja vidya raja guhyam pavitram idam uttamam pratyakshav agamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. Give the translation. I don't know. Chapter 9, text 2. Have a look and see the translation. You should know. These are basic verses. So Krishna consciousness can be directly experienced, but it is not an experience on the platform of the mundane senses, nor of the mundane mind. In the verse under discussion today are described 8 material elements, which include the mind, mundane intelligence, and the false ego. So, whatever we experience within mundane consciousness is a transformation of the mundane mental activities. Now, what does adhyatmik mean in Telugu? What does adhyatmik mean in Telugu? What? Adhyatmik, what? Translate that to English from Telugu? Spiritual. Yeah, but I didn't say spiritual. I said material. I didn't say that though. You're imagining, you're giving a purport. I didn't say it. I'm going to say it in the next line. Please try to say what I'm saying. Otherwise, what's the point? It's a transformation of the material. Whatever what I say is what do we experience in this mundane condition is a transformation of the material mind and intelligence and false ego. Not just. But in the next verse of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Aparayam etastranyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutang mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. So science as we conceive of it in the mundane condition is mundane. Mundane people are very proud of mundane science. But mundane science denies the spiritual dimension. Krishna consciousness is a science, but it's not a mundane science. Science means a methodology by which knowledge is ascertained. Science. Spiritual science is that process by which spiritual knowledge is gained. Now, mundane people say that, well, we don't believe in anything spiritual because we can't measure it by any material means. This is an extraordinarily foolish statement. Because if you could measure anything that you can measure by material means is not spiritual. Please keep away from me. As they say, well, we can't measure it by material means, but by very definition, that which is spiritual is not measurable by material means. So it is a self-defeating proposition. So ordinary religion is based on blind faith, on sentimentalism or fanaticism. People say, well, I just believe. But the belief of an imperfect person is necessarily imperfect. People say, well, I believe in Jesus, or I believe in Ayyappa, or I believe in this so-called Kalki avatar. But simply their belief does not make it fact. During the Second World War, the majority of the people in Germany believed that what Hitler was doing was right. They believed it was right for Hitler to attack, or for Germany to attack different countries and kill millions of Jewish people. George Bush believes that it's right for America to go on attacking Iraq, although the most of Americans nowadays, they don't agree with that. Most Americans supported him when he first sent troops to Iraq, and now they don't. So belief can change. Someone may say, well, I'm a Hindu, I believe in Hindu dharma. But we find in many cases that belief is not very strong. It can be changed for 10,000 rupees or so. Or if we told people what Jesus actually taught, they don't want to believe that. Serious scholars of the Bible almost all agree that Jesus was almost certainly vegetarian and believed in reincarnation. It's accepted as a historical fact that the Bible was changed to cover this. To change this, because people wanted the blessings of Jesus without following his instructions. So most of what goes on in the name of religion in the world is simply cheating. In Islam also, it's stated that one should not take the blood of any animal. which is a clear direction not to eat meat. But instead, they kill the animals in a way that they say they drain all the blood out, although I doubt if they can actually do so. So people tend to believe what they want to believe for the sake of their own sense gratification. They like to believe in a religion which fosters their sense gratification. This is not dharma. Dharma means the intrinsic nature of the soul. Swabhava. So, what is the swabhava of the soul? It doesn't depend upon belief. Maybe the Christians think God is... they have some concept of how God is. And the Muslims have another concept. And some Hindus think that God is some modern Kalki avatar, and some think it's Sai Baba number one, and some think it's Sai Baba number two, and there are many different ideas of who is, what is the nature of God. I'm criticizing this nonsense Kalki avatar. Don't edit it out. Kalki avatar is fully worshipable, but this rascal is not Kalki avatar. It's just an imitation, that's all. Kalki avatar comes to kill all the demons. He's one of the demons. Who says he's God and who's not God? He's simply a rascal, that's all. What's the word? That's not the word. That means fool. I said rascal. Durta. Padmas. He's also a fool. We don't say he's not a fool. So, different people have different ideas about what is the nature of God, but his nature is as he is. There's not one God for the Muslims and one God for the Christians and, you know, 1 billion gods for the Hindus. 1 billion means that's 100 crores, no? So there's about 100 crores Hindus in the world, so everyone has their own idea of what is God. So God doesn't change according to our opinion. But self-realization means to make our opinion in line with God's. Our opinion is useless. Yes. Useless. Because we are tiny living beings with polluted intelligence. Our intelligence is polluted by desires for sense gratification. We are full of kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. Then what is the use of our opinion about God? We should take knowledge from Bhagavad Gita as it is, then only we can understand who is God. Even if we read Bhagavad Gita from someone who is also in illusion, that won't help us. Someone is producing some edition of Bhagavad Gita and advertising that it's like honey, but actually it's like poison, makaranda. They're advertising it's like honey, makaranda. But actually it's like poison because they don't present Bhagavad Gita as Krishna presents it. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna clearly presents himself as supreme. Supreme is param. He states in Bhagavad Gita, Matah parataram nanyat kinchid asti. There is nothing superior to me. And therefore, the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is sarvadhamam paritya ja mamekam sharanam raja. But if someone is presenting an edition of Bhagavad Gita in which these points, after reading it, you don't understand these very clear points that Krishna makes, then you haven't actually read Bhagavad Gita. Or you might say, well, yeah, it's Bhagavad Gita, you see all the shlokas are there. If all the information is there, but you get the wrong conclusion, then it's useless. Just like you see, if there's an India-Pakistan cricket match, and you see India wins the toss, has the first innings, And then, you know, the first three men are out for a duck. But eventually, India wins the match. So if you, in the newspaper report, if they say that, well, India won the toss, they batted first, the first three men were out for a duck, and in the end they lost the match, you got a lot of the information right, but the ultimate conclusion is wrong. So in the same way, people are presenting Bhagavad Gita, and they give the verses, and they give the translation, but the conclusion that Krishna is supreme and we are supposed to surrender to Him, that doesn't come through at all. Sarvottam is a good word for supreme. So people are just giving their opinions, but they don't know the fact. When Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita, it's not just His opinion, it's supreme transcendental facts. So we should understand what Krishna is presenting to us. By taking this knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, we can get the highest benefit of life. To understand, that means to clearly understand who is Bhagavan, what is the nature of Bhagavan, who are we, what is our relationship with Bhagavan. Most people are under the very wrong misconception that the jiva and Bhagavan are the same. That is not a fact. That is not upheld by Bhagavad Gita. So many people, they translate Bhagavad Gita and they give the conclusion that the jiva and Bhagavan are the same, which is not at all the message of Bhagavad Gita. It's just the opposite of the actual message. So we should understand that any presentation of religion that doesn't give systematic, clear knowledge of who we are and what is our positions as eternal servants of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, any so-called religion is just simply cheating. So be careful. Mostly what goes on in the name of religion is cheating. And therefore people, either they foolishly go along with whichever variety of cheating appeals to them most, or they become disgusted and say, well, we only believe in science. But the real science, the best science, is to understand the energies of the Supreme Lord, the Shakti and the Shaktiman, the Sarva Shaktiman, the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, to understand the transcendental energies of the Supreme Lord and the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord, that is not possible by any material method. It is possible by a transcendental method, by applying oneself to the process of sadhana bhakti. Is that so-called Kalki Bhagavan? He's there now? He's there?
He's not here.
He didn't come. No, I think we can go and meet him. Tell him what a rascal he is. No such luck. I wasn't so fortunate. Anyway, if you want to help these misguided people, take this Bhagavad Gita as it is and go and distribute it there. There are so many wrong ideas going on in the name of Dharma. This Krishna conscious movement is meant for presenting to the world clear knowledge of the Supreme Lord. There is so much confusion in the world because people do not know what is actual Dharma. So please try to understand Krishna as He presents Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna conscious means chanting Hare Krishna, taking Krishna prasadam, but it also means to understand the bhakti tattva vigyan, the scientific knowledge of devotional service. Are there any questions, please? Yeah.
What is meant by
What is meant by magnet?
Mundane
means bhotik. Material, non-transcendental, non-spiritual. Any other questions? Mundane means Krishnetara dharana. Conceiving of anything as being separate from Krishna. Vritirtam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tat vidyada atmano mayam yata vasho yata tamaha. Anything that is conceived of as being separate from Krishna is not of the nature of reality, but it is simply a reflection of, a perverted reflection within the darkness of ignorance.
In Vedic scriptures, is there any predictions about Mohammed? Is Mohammed the representative of God?
Apparently there's something there in the Bhavishya Purana. Apart from that, I don't know. Srila Prabhupada gives... He refers to Muhammad as Hazrat Muhammad, respectfully. And says that he's done great service to the personality of Godhead. That means for the people he was living among, he may have held them to come to a higher level. That doesn't mean that it's the highest level. Real religion means to know who is God and what is our relationship with Him. Unless we know who is God, then how can we love Him? In Christianity, they've made it, the whole of Christianity is based upon the tremendous mistake of thinking that Jesus is directly God Himself, when He only claimed to be a representative of God. The idea that God suffered for our sins is, it's practically blasphemous, because God doesn't suffer. He may suffer separation from His devotees, that is His leela, but He's not subject to physical punishment by anyone. We don't find that in any of the leelas of any of the avatars. I didn't say anything about Jesus this time. I don't know what you're saying, but it's not what I'm saying. All right, never mind. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Let's finish.